Okay, it's 5:03, and we'll go ahead and get started here. My name is Dr. Stephen Goodwin. I'm a CEO of Turning West, one of the consulting firm that's been leading the district through this process of annexation and a few other things, as well as working with Ridgecrest Regional Hospital on the letter of intent and so forth. So just a couple of things about this meeting tonight. This is the fourth of four meetings of community information sessions that we've held so far. Last week on the 5th and 6th, we held two via Zoom so that participants could come. Last night, we were in Ridgecrest and held one at 5 p.m., and this is the fourth identical session of these. What we're asking of the public is to bring us your questions and your comments so that we can be publicly informed and represent you as much as we can throughout the process. That's been the goal throughout this phase of the community engagement stage. And what we promise is to be as transparent as we absolutely possibly can, as forthcoming with as much information as we have available to us, so that we can have this great working relationship with this singular goal. So just hopefully you all got a handout. These are helpful. These will also be on the website for the Kern, East Kern Healthcare District website. You can find it there. If you've got friends or neighbors or other people in your community, you want to point them to this, please do so at that juncture. A little bit of background about healthcare districts. So there are healthcare districts were started in 1945 in California, meant to address especially rural populations or underserved populations that needed a little extra attention, you might say, and some ways to really kind of be engaged around healthcare issues in underserved areas. Throughout the state, they're served by five-person boards. I understand there's a little bit of a caveat. If they govern more than 225 hospital beds, you can have a seven-person bed, but otherwise they're five-person elected votes, elected from the local voters who govern each district. Here in Kern County, there are six such healthcare districts, and you see them listed here, one of which being this one that governs California City and the surrounding areas here called East Kern Healthcare District. This is a multi-county district. It's got a little teeny sliver, 1 square mile over in San Bernardino County. I believe it's the Randsburg area or the Johannesburg area, right there somewhere, just east of the 395. This district was formed in 1976, and presently up until this point, as it's evolved, and all the districts throughout the state have evolved differently. They're not all identical, depending on the needs and the evolution and the leadership they've had over the years. They've all evolved a little bit differently. This one manages several healthcare properties for that are leased by healthcare providers. And we can talk more about that in a minute. Ridgecrest Regional Hospital to our north was formed in 1962, offers comprehensive healthcare services to the area of the whole Indian Wells Valley and surrounding communities. Ridgecrest Regional was affected greatly by the 2019 earthquakes, as you might well have expected, and then COVID hit and has really done significant harm to lots of rural hospitals all throughout America with soaring costs and then, of course, no patients, so very little revenue and soaring costs makes for a challenging circumstance. So it was out of that situation that the hospital began to look for other ways to find funding, and approached the healthcare district here in East Kern about how they might collaborate. So in the letter of intent between these two organizations, there were several values that were really touchstones, really guiding touchstones for this process to date, and they are these three. So access to healthcare. The goal is to have as much access to healthcare and the best healthcare we can possibly provide for residents and visitors of this region. Everyone wants that, right? That's what we all long for as human beings. We want to have excellence in that healthcare as best as we are able to provide, and full transparency as a public process, as a public entity, to be as fully transparent as we possibly can so that we all come together and do this together as a community. The mission of this project is to expand healthcare options. Obviously, one of the things I always told my kids growing up is you always in life want as many options as you can possibly have, right? We all want that, and especially around our healthcare. We want to have choices instead of having to be forced to drive 2 hours to San Bernardino or you know, south or east or west or wherever we have to go to get healthcare. So the goal is expanded healthcare options. And the vision is, you know, a system that everyone can access. Very simple. We all want access to healthcare. So that's a little bit about how this came to be. So in the conversation, what emerged is, as Ridgecrest Regional Hospital's board and leadership looked at this possibility, they saw some really impossible things for themselves. One, which annexation of the area to the north, and if you look on page two, you'll see the map here. That might be helpful to look at. So in the red box is the current East Kern Healthcare District area, which encompasses most of California City. And to the north of that, up into the northeasternmost current county area, is including the Ridgecrest area, would that be that land which would be annexed should this go through? So that's what we're talking about, is this contiguous portion straight to the north, including the northeasternmost part of the county. If that were to be completed, what that annexation would do is provide a governmental vehicle for the hospital to collaborate with the district in new ways. Presently, the hospital is a nonprofit, it's a private entity, and because of that status, its legal status, there are certain restrictions between collaborating with government. You know, government can give money to government, but it's difficult for government to give money to private entities. So there's a lot of restrictions that come with that. So if there were annexation of this area to the north, hi, welcome, come on in, please. If there were annexation to this area to the north, it could open up potential state and federal funding streams to the hospital that are not now available to them at present. So the healthcare district could enter into relationship, and that we'll explore a little bit in this conversation tonight, that aren't available to private nonprofit hospitals. And Tom, correct me, but that could be as much as $3-4 million a year, possibly. That's a potential. So which is a significant amount of money that could help benefit the hospital, which could benefit the whole region that would include this whole area, including annexed and unannexed areas here as well. And, you know, after the 2019 earthquake, there's a mandate to come under seismic compliance, and this would could extend that deadline for a few more years, giving the hospital more time to raise funds for a very extensive, you know, process, and a very expensive one, as you might well imagine. So what's next? So the reason we're here tonight as the fourth of four of these sessions is that on the agenda for the East Kern Healthcare District special meeting on Tuesday, 5 p.m., April 16th, is a resolution to appeal for annexation, to apply for annexation from the Local Agency Formation Commission. Did I get that right, Jeff?
Yes.
Right, Local Agency Formation Commission, called LAFCO mostly. There is one LAFCO expression in every of the 58 counties of California. The Kern County LAFCO is charged with any kind of amendment of government entities in that capacity. So they would begin a process of their own that would include a great deal of community involvement and public comment and so forth to proceed with this annexation process. So the meeting here tonight is to inform you about this potential vote on April 16th by the East Kern Healthcare District Board. And at that point, it'll take about 6 months minimum, maybe longer, for annexation to be completed with a very public, concerted process of, I don't know, what is there, 16, 21 steps, Jeff, or something like that, for the LAFCO has to go through?
Yeah, they have a whole bevy of processes that they have to go through that are above and beyond what the district needs to do to initiate.
Right, yep. And that would be on them to be perform those steps.
Correct.
That's what would be.
Yeah,
Kern County LAFCO.
After right. The district, if it takes action to initiate the annexation, then all of the public engagement and noticing and everything that follows is LAFCO's responsibility. They take over the process once the district requests that it be initiated.
Great. Yes. Good. So it's important to note that the district is a taxing entity. It gets a fractional share of the 1% general tax of the parcels in this district. In the on the map there on page 2, that current red area there, which amounts to something like $200,000 and change per year, I understand. So that's one revenue source for the district. The second revenue source is the lease revenues it gets from four health clinics, health entities here in town. As landowners, so they get some revenue that way. Those are the two revenue sources currently. If this were to be annexed in the area to the north, it would not increase taxation from this northern area. That's a whole function of the county Board of Commissioners. But it wouldn't increase taxation to there at all. So there's no tax change to this amendment, this annexation. Let me stop there and open it up for questions. And I'm going to ask if my colleague could just bring the microphone around. And please, if you have a question, state your name and then ask your question. We're recording this and putting these on the website, so we have these for the record.
Questions? Yes, please.
I have a question for you, too. In the spirit of public transparency, Karen was on the left before. I am no longer, and I will say that. But you, can you get to the next annexation? Okay, so we do have an expert.
Perfect.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I have been through the process.
Okay, so my name is Karen Sanders. I'm a resident of California City. I am the East Kern representative for Supervisor Scrivener, but I'd rather be here as just a member of the public. I did serve on the LAFCO Commission for, 7 years. So I've seen a lot of different procedures that LAFCO performs for the benefit of the residents of Kern County, throughout the entire county, not just East Kern.
Yes.
So that's the position that I was in. I have questions about the annexation and how it will affect the services that are provided by Ridgecrest Regional Hospital. I worked in Ridgecrest, I've lived in Ridgecrest, and I have, you know, I try to be a reasonable person and not listen to rumors, but rumors circulate.
Sure.
I want to know if this annexation will help the hospital deliver services that I believe currently are either not delivered or are on the chopping block, potentially at least. The three specific things, and I know this is a rampant problem in healthcare across the United States, will the hospital be able to serve maternity patients? The second question I have is, will the hospital be able to serve workman's comp patients? Because I've seen that go on the wayside with someone who sat in the emergency room for nearly 10 hours with a pretty severe wound and finally just walked out, and then heard after he was there for that period of time that they weren't taking workman's comp patients. And then the second thing is the mental health services. Will the hospital either continue to have mental health services, because the rumor is that is on the chopping block with the hospital.
Okay, do I need this?
So,
to answer your last question first, the mental health services, we offer mental health services now. There is no plans to cut the service at this point. There's no reason to cut it. It's a service that's paying its own way. And so there's no plan to cut that service. As to whether or not so what we had to do is suspend the OB program, because the OB program was costing, we were losing over $5 million a year in OB care, seeing only 30 to 40 patients a month, which is questionable in terms of whether or not we're providing good care. In healthcare, whether you like it or not, the more procedures that are done, the better the providers are at doing it. So, for example, cardiac surgery, a cardiac surgeon that does 20 surgeries a year versus a cardiac surgeon that does 200 a year, I'm going to the guy that's doing 200 a year, because he knows he's doing them all the time. So OB, we've suspended the program. There's no guarantees that it's going to come back. We have to get revenue relief from the state and the state Medi-Cal, because Medi-Cal is primarily Medi-Cal payment, and we're losing a great deal of money on every Medi-Cal case. I'll go into the other question about, are we going to reduce other services? There's no anticipation of that yet. Annexation is only one thing that we're doing right now. It is only one of many things that we're doing right now to turn the hospital financials around. So if this goes through in a year or two, we may be able to access $3 to $4 million a year additional. If we can do that, that's certainly going to help be able to provide, continue to provide existing services as well as maybe provide new services. So I'm not sure. You had I think, three questions. Oh, workers' comp. We see workers' comp. I wish, we had a workers' comp program. We eliminated the workers' comp program because we just weren't doing it well. We just didn't know how to do it. It was an official program through our urgent care clinic. If a workers' comp patient comes into the emergency room, we'll see that patient and we'll fill out the paperwork and we'll do everything we have to for that. Now, it sounds like this was something that had to do with poor service. Somebody had to stay in the emergency room for 12 hours on a workers' comp case. That doesn't sound right.
Well, it was my boss, and I knew what kind of injury he had, and he went to the emergency room and literally was there for 10 hours before he walked out, and he got no service whatsoever. And he was told over the next few days that the physicians at the Ridgecrest Regional Hospital were told to sign a letter saying they would not take workers' comp patients. And again, this goes back to rumors. Don't know, but he was injured and did not get service and ended up having to go to Lancaster Palmdale, which, you know, that's a little bit of a drive, especially when you've got a pretty severe injury.
So we're required to see every patient, take care of every patient that presents, okay? We're not going to turn patients down. When that happens, we need to know. We need to know about it. I wish he would have called us. I wish he would have called Jim Suter, the CEO. Or one of the board members. He probably knows one of the board members. He probably knows a physician over there.
He does, and I don't know that he felt that that was the right route for him to take.
Well,
in the it
future,
was extenuating extenuating circumstances with the relationship that he had with the hospital and with the system, and as a Bureau of Land Management employee, not being seen for an injury that was work related was kind of unforgivable.
Well, that's not acceptable. I don't disagree. That's a different issue as to why, but it had nothing to do with the current financial issues that they were going through. It has nothing to do with that. That was just some, I don't know what happened. You know, we would have to research that, have to figure out why that happened. And that's why whenever something like that happens, we need to know immediately so we can get in, we can figure it out. We can say, hey, what the heck happened here? Why didn't you get seen? I mean, I'm a former CEO. I was a CEO of a system in Northern California for 26 years, and then I did interim CEO work for another 15 years. Let me tell you, I've heard all kinds of stories, and as soon as we can find out about them, we want to investigate and we want to make it right. Sometimes the facts aren't always as presented. Sometimes they're worse than presented, but we want to know.
Yeah. Well, the whole workers' comp question, I guess my concern is with an annexation between East Kern Healthcare District and Ridgecrest Regional Hospital, is that going to improve the circumstances for both parties? Is it going to improve the circumstances for Ridgecrest Regional Hospital? Is it going to improve the circumstances for East Kern Healthcare District? Is it going to make it better for the residents of both areas so that, you know, I see on your paper, and I read it, I left my copy at home, but there's access to care. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? What exactly does access to care mean? Does that mean that people who go in with a workman's comp injury? My husband manages a rock quarry. Thankfully, they haven't had a lot of workman's comp injuries, but it happens. And they need to know that they're going to be able to go to that hospital because it's the closest one and get the care for their worker who's been injured on the job. Yeah. And it's just a concern.
Sure. And I would say to that, you know, like any entity in the world, you have to take in more money than you spend. If you spend more money than you take in, you're not going to be in business long. And that's presently the situation that hospitals in. They're trying to manage their money to stay afloat.
Right, I understand. So, but with the annexation, is that going to improve their circumstances at the hospital so that we're not going to have these situations where people can't get emergency care because it's workman's comp or can't get
It provides a vehicle for the district and the hospital to explore collaboration. That can happen in a variety of different ways and shapes that haven't been explored yet because we don't have this vehicle yet. But it could provide more funds, more state and federal funds, more Department of Defense funds, you know, that could be provided to the hospital or to the district.
That brings up another question.
Right. So that it's possible, it opens up more possibilities for funding. This is one action the hospital's taking to try to address its fiscal crisis that it's having.
Okay, so you mentioned the Department of Defense, with China Lake Naval Weapons Station being right there, butt to butt with the hospital. What is their role? How are they going to help the situation? Because they have enlisted people on the base, they have civilian employees on the base, they have, you know,
they have needs
just like the common people do. They have needs. How is the Defense Department
but it's difficult for the federal government to just hand over money to a private nonprofit. And so, but if it's much easier for them to hand over money to a government entity like the healthcare district and have a collaboration that funnels into the hospital.
Okay,
so
I understand.
This will provide that vehicle.
Okay.
And we hope that will help expedite the process and allow that to happen so that the DOD has a way to get money to the hospital to support it.
So we're initiating those discussions.
Up until this point, they have not provided any subsidy to the hospital, like they have maybe the school districts or whatever. They have not provided any subsidy to Ridgecrest Regional Hospital. We think they should, because of what we provide in the community.
You're the only game in town.
You're the only game in town.
For whatever reason. We think they should. Now, is that going to happen? I can't guarantee that. We're in discussions. And if they say yay, Jim Seward has been working on that actively. He's gone back to Washington and has met with the Surgeon General and several other admirals or generals or whatever. And they're considering that now. Soon, we're going to try to apply for a defense infrastructure construction grant. We're talking to some people out at the base right now to help fund some of the projects that we have coming up. So that's one of the other things we're working on.
Sure.
The annexation is one, the defense, getting contributions from the Navy is one of them. We're trying to renegotiate our payer contracts, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, all those different contracts, trying to get Medi-Cal payments increased for Medi-Cal mothers, trying to get those increased. It's going to be really tough to do that, given the fiscal situation in the state of California this year with them running a $70 billion deficit. So fat chance that Medi-Cal rates are going to get increased. But anyway, we're working on just a host of things to try to increase the revenues. We've decreased expenses, and the combination of all those things will allow us to better provide services. The ultimate question you have is that are we going to be able to provide services?
Yeah.
We hope so. We hope so. But I can't guarantee that unless we get more revenue than it costs us to provide the care. And right now we get roughly, from Medi-Cal, we get roughly 25% of what we charge. Medicare, 30%. Some of the payers, maybe 50% of what we charge. It's one of the reasons why hospital charges are so high. You have to raise them much higher in order to keep getting that share. So we can't guarantee it, but I would venture to say it'll sure give us a better ability to provide services if we can access more revenue sources. And the annexation issue could raise $3 to $4 million a year for us.
From East Kern Healthcare's point of view, we're so small
with a tiny percentage of property taxes, that we end up literally with only enough money to run a website and be maybe a resource hub. As this conversation started, and Tom and I started talking about the potential of the things that we could do, the way we got to the annexation is it's the vehicle. You know, it's like the postage stamp on the envelope. You can have the greatest letter in the whole world. It can be going to the president. It's in the envelope. It's sealed. It's ready to go. But if you don't have the stamp, it's not going to get there. So what we're focusing on is the annexation, because that becomes our vehicle. And our next step with the consultants that we've hired, we're going to start working LAFCO process, which is going to take months, and a strategic plan, which is going to take months to get done, because we're looking 50 years into the future. But I have absolute certainty in my mind that we will hit challenges, we'll hit potholes, but what we've started is a conversation, a community conversation where everybody is welcome to come. And your questions about workman's comp, how many times I've heard in California City, our urgent care, their business model only works if they have the school district, the city, workman's comp, and the prison. Well, the prison's closed. You know, where are we with the others? So this is giving us a vehicle where we can talk to other government agencies and say, what do we need to do? Then when we find out that that part, we're in the vehicle, we're driving it, now we can focus on what does the next part of the conversation look like. And this is what Steve said earlier. Our commitment is to access to healthcare. We're not providing all the services, but everybody should have the ability to know where they can go. When I broke my wrist, I ended up going to Lancaster.
Of course.
I couldn't go. There was no orthopedic surgeon on call on a Sunday. I want everybody to stay in Kern County. I want to have blood draws here in Cal City. But we're not at that part of the conversation yet, because we've got to get us to the table so that we can invite other people to the table. And one of the things that you and Zach's office could really help us with is figuring out who we need for strategic partners to increase this conversation. Because that's really where we are. We're at the point of expanding the conversation to learn. We can have all the dreams in the whole world,
sure,
but we've got to have actuality. And the actuality, the first step, is this annexation, the resolution next Tuesday. And then LAFCO does its thing.
Other questions for me?
Okay, my name is Jessica Rojas. I'm also the president for the Chamber of Commerce here in California City. I'm also a previous employee of East Kern Healthcare District, and I'm here as a resident. So with that, I'm looking at your map, and it shows that it basically only kind of is zoned right now for California City. I thought we were also zoned for Mojave and kind of like Tehachapi that we were pulling away from. We're just strictly California City for East Kern Healthcare District.
It's 1 square mile of San Bernardino County. That little bump that you see on the right-hand side of the map.
Yeah, I understand that. I just didn't believe that prior to. I thought that we took in Mojave as well based off of even your recordings from previous meetings.
Mojave is totally separate. So is Boron. We go California City north to the road, Ransburg-Mojave Road, across to the 395, 1 square mile in San Bernardino County, which is what makes us a multi-county agency. But we have nothing to do. Muroc Hospital District is in Boron. And I'm not sure. Is there a hospital district in Mojave? There isn't.
Is it part of the Tehachapi Valley Healthcare District?
I don't think so.
Is it part of Muroc?
I don't think so. It's a question I don't have an answer to. But
if we did that, would it be beneficial to involve Mojave?
It's not necessarily a hospital in every health district.
Sure. Right. But if, let's say, Mojave isn't under the umbrella of a district, would it be beneficial to expand into Mojave as well and make it even larger while we're doing it one time on this annexation?
Part of what we were advised in the process is do what we can do in this step with a single focus. And then once this focus is underway, then we can look.
Then we can look. You've got a clinic in Trona.
Yeah.
There, you know, what's going on in Mojave. This is such a huge conversation. And now that you're with the chamber, how do you have economic development? How do you have business if you don't have a place where the businesses can send their staff if there is something, if there is a family that comes that needs healthcare services? So we're not at where you are yet. We're still back here trying to create a vehicle that allows us and the hospital to have the conversations with the revenue streams, because that's where we both are. We need revenue in order to come in here so that we can provide the services that the residents need.
Yeah, so speaking on the revenue, I hear that you're saying it would benefit Ridgecrest about $3 or $4 million. How does it benefit East Kern Healthcare District? How much does East Kern Healthcare District benefit off financially to increase versus just paying it forward to
Ridgecrest? Well, there's several options for that, and I'll take that question first. Several options for that. So in lots of other districts, the district that would take a small fraction of that revenue to provide those services because they're the government umbrella. So there's a possible revenue sharing that could happen between the hospital and the district. So the district would have then three sources of revenue, the taxes it gets, the leasing revenue, or perhaps even some revenue from healthcare. So this is how lots of other districts throughout the state provide themselves. For example, in Palm Springs, the Desert Healthcare District is a $120 million entity with a whole bunch of hospitals and a whole bunch of things, and that's how they fund their services, is through that kind of vehicle. So we don't know that answer yet. That'll have to be explored once the vehicle is in place. It doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of time and money to figure that out now. If the vehicle doesn't go for whatever reason, that would be wasted. So the process is annexation first, go through the LAFCO process, get to the resolution of that, and then we can explore how that looks and what that looks. But it involves possibilities that don't have to exist.
Yeah, so I understand.
Let me just tell you, too, that it's not just about getting in extra money. You know, we can do that through grants, federal grants, too, which, by the way, the hospital can't access right now. So by being a part of the district, we could access that. We could access that collaboratively and bring in more money to not only the hospital but to the district for certain services. Also, the hospital, by virtue of its size and infrastructure, could bring more to the table in California City. So if we need to provide, you need another clinic or something like that, maybe, I'm not saying we would, but maybe we could set up some sort of primary care clinic through our rural health clinic over here. So there's just a lot of different things, and that's why we have to go through this strategic planning process to figure out what those things are and what your needs are. And that was one of the first things we were going to do as well, is try to create a community needs assessment for California City. What do you need? What is it you need? We're not going to be able to provide everything, but there may be some things that we could easily provide.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, would have been like what you could bring as far as not just financial, but like bringing in doctors here or bringing in services here, or even strengthening your Ridgecrest car. I think I've seen a Ridgecrest car for, I thought, a hospital that picked up patients and took out there. I could be mistaken. There is some vehicle that comes around town that says Ridgecrest something on it.
It's a lab car.
A lab car. So, yeah, I could see that being beneficial for the community, and I was asking for the community, if the community is to partake in either voting on this or approving this or giving the green light, their concerns are, what are you doing for us? I hear you want it for you. What are you doing for us? So that is important for the community on how it would pay off or benefit us as far as going forward in the needs.
And that's usually conducted every 3 years. Hospitals have to do a community needs assessment. So hopefully the next iteration of this, it could include Ridgecrest and this area. These were all annexed together. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. those things would come up out of the community needs surveys that would come up, and then the hospital would be able to go, oh, there's something we can do something about, right? Or there's something we can pursue other funding to do something about.
Now, I have seen the contract that Eastern Healthcare District and Ridgecrest has been collaborating on or putting into stone for the annexation, which is public record and on their website with their board meetings. Are you say that doesn't mention anything about, you know, the kind of give and take, so to speak, for the communities, but you are saying going forward you will be doing another contract then as we get closer to putting this on the ballot or the community voting that would then go more into detail on what both parties plan to do other than just funds to improve
that
the
needs? That's likely, but it hasn't been decided yet. That's down the line. Right now we're just really trying to focus on this vote on April 16th. That's the purpose of these forums. And then we initiate the LAFCO process. LAFCO will get started doing its work, and further conversations can take place when we get the results of that. So and all that's it just opens up possibilities.
And the April 16th vote is just going to be with the directors voting?
Right. And
yes.
What they're doing is they're going to apply, officially apply to LAFCO for this annexation process. They get that, LAFCO takes it from there, and they do their normal.
I want to clarify one thing. Jessica, you used the word contract. There is no contract. We're not even close. We are at a letter. We are at a letter of intent. And in the letter of intent, it's kind of like we're going to start dating and we're going to figure this out. But that letter of intent is that the two entities want to work together for the benefit of all of the residents. And part of the immediate benefit that we've had for our community, and I will give you a specific example. I had a woman approach me and said that she was having trouble getting her ostomy bags. She had had cancer. She had some kind of a...
colostomy?
Not colostomy, ostomy. Anyway, she needed disposal bags, and she was having trouble getting them. And so I turned to Tom, and I said, this is the story. The woman is a grandmother. She's here in town. She's a cancer survivor, but she is having trouble getting daily use bags. How do we do this? So Tom, because you have 800 employees and a wealth of information, he was able to tell me maybe isn't even a approval each time because it's ongoing. There should be a regular way to work through. We're still trying to work through this, but look at the back of the insurance card and call your number on the back of that card and see what it is. This is what we're finding out, is that there are so many places where a need can drop through the cracks. And this would give us a bigger conversation because we're looking at a bigger system, rather than us as the little thing. So California City is already benefiting from this, because if a resident calls and asks a question, we don't deal with the insurance company, we don't provide the services, but we have a greater scope of knowledge, experience, and professionals that we can ask a question. Then we go back. And for me personally, with my broken wrist, my referral for my second set of physical therapy got lost. It got sent to the wrong email address. And I kept saying, why isn't it here? I just found out yesterday the reason it's not here in California City is because it got sent to the wrong email address. So this is about learning what we can do, because we all need access, there's that word again, to healthcare services.
Good, thank you. Other questions? Thank you. Please state your name and then your question.
Sure. Mark Hawkins, Cal City resident. We miss you on the council, by the way. My question is, because the sphere of influence appears to double geographically, do you know what the population percentage increase would be for that?
I think it's 200,000. I mean, by 200%. I mean, the population here is, what, 14,000?
Give it to
you. In this area,
population of Ridgecrest is about 33,000.
33,000, so quite significantly larger.
And one other thing, just an observation, just in terms of wanting to sell this to the public after the vote, it would be important to have more of these kinds of information sessions.
100%. We are 100% with that, and the LAFCO process entails that naturally. And then the goal here, as you saw in the goals of this transparency we possibly can, which is why we're trying to reach as many people as we possibly can, for as many vehicles as we possibly can.
And
last
one, you can have a Zoom feature.
Right, they have a Zoom feature,
they
people can
participate,
there's all kinds of stages to that.
Right, so you can participate in that.
Okay, I'm going to give you something if you want to text me. I'll put it up on the website so that people can know how to access the local meetings. Because that's something that would give us a little bit of
feedback. Are there other questions, concerns, do you think? Again, I can't say this over and over again enough. The goal here is we all want more access to healthcare. I mean, every human being wants that. We want that for our neighbors, we want that for visitors passing through the corridor here. And this, we believe, gives us the best opportunity to do that for people who will come now, who live here now, who may come here in the future. Also, I personally believe that, you know, economic vitality and healthcare are tied hand in glove. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And we all need that to have a strong, healthy economy so that people want to come and live here, raise their children here, grow old here, and you know, be able to not have to leave, go 2 hours someplace else to get basic health services. So that's the goal here. So again, if you have any questions, we're happy to answer those. Happy to answer those if you want to stick around for a minute. We're going to take the recording. This will be the fourth recording that we'll put on the website along with the handout and other information. So if you have other friends or neighbors who didn't make this, any of these four meetings, direct them to the ekhcd.org website for that information. And on the bottom of page four, there are two email addresses. One for the healthcare district. If you have questions that, you know, like me, I always think about 2 minutes after something happens, I think it's a great question. I wish I would have asked if that has happened. Please email that question then or that concern to annex@ekhcd.com, .org. And if it has to do with the hospital, please send it to inquiries@rrh.org. If there's no other questions or comments, we'll go ahead and end this meeting. And thank you so much for coming out. I really appreciate your participation. This is so helpful to us all.